Genesis 45 and verse 10. And thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen, and thou shalt be near unto me. And thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen, and thou shalt be near unto me. Thou and thy children, and thy children's children, and thy flocks, and thy herds, and all that thou hast. I'll stop there with the reading, but we'll deal with the rest of the chapter in this story. First of all, I want to give you a list of names and a list of items. And in your head, be thinking maybe what they have in common with one another. Henry Ford, Walt Disney, Steven Spielberg, Abraham Lincoln, WD-40, bubble wrap, pacemakers, and the Dyson vacuum. Anybody have a guess of maybe what those have in common? They all work. Well, that's good. Well, I think we all would agree they're all successful. But do you realize that the main ingredient that all these have in common, at one time, they were failures. Every single one of them were failures. Henry Ford was fired from multiple jobs. Several prototypes of a vehicle that never worked. Walt Disney said at a young age that he wouldn't make it because he imagined too much. Steven Spielberg was not accepted into several different universities to help him with directing and things like that. He was rejected. Abraham Lincoln lost the election 8 times before he was president. WD-40, that's why they got their name, WD-40, because it failed unsuccessfully 39 times. Bubble wrap was initially used as a means of wallpaper in the 1960s, but they found out that wasn't going to work. It's on the internet, so it's got to be true, right? Pacemakers were huge. They were in gigantic rooms, and the inventor mistakenly plugged in the wrong thing in the wrong place. And he heard something that sounded like a heartbeat that was just minute. From that mistake came a great invention that has saved many lives, and probably many of you are wearing those tonight. The Dyson vacuum, 5,721 prototypes that failed. But they finally found the right one, and as you know, as the salesman says, they never lose suction. The most successful vacuum company in the world, by the way, started out as a failure. You say, Brian, what in the world does all these have to do with this scripture? Well, I'm glad you asked. Because we have here in this text, and especially in this chapter, when these group of men will finally have to face their failure. These brothers of Joseph, many years before, and you all know the story, and I'll try to briefly get us to where we're at, but many years prior to this, we all know what happened. Joseph was favored child, and his brothers hated him because he was favored. And you all know what happened. They decided that one day they would throw him into a pit. They were going to kill him, but one of the brothers stepped in and said, well, let's just throw him into a pit. So they sold him as a slave. And you all know the story, how God took him from one place to the next. And one of my favorite scriptures throughout the life of Joseph was simply this, and God was with him. I love that. Every place from the pit to the prison to the palace, God was with him. And now he is elevated into second in command in Egypt, and there's a famine in the land, and his family had to come to Egypt to get corn and to get food and grain, and after all these years, here they are, and there's several different back and forth, but finally here in chapter 45, it comes to a head, and they were in a room, and Joseph with his power could have easily turned turned around and told his servants, kill every one of them. They deserve to be killed. And really, if we would understand the story, they did deserve to be killed. They deserve death. They deserve to be imprisoned. They deserve a life of punishment. But instead, Joseph did something that many of us won't do today. He extended mercy. He extended forgiveness. And instead of giving them death, what they rightfully deserved, he gave them Goshen. That's the title of my message tonight. He gave me Goshen. He gave me Goshen. Now think about this. All of us tonight, if we would really think about our lives, we are all failures in the sight of God. All of us, and I've heard many of your testimonies, and even my own personal testimony, and many times in my life, if I would have I have many faults and failures, but if I had one of them, I always feel like I never do a good enough job, and I try my best to do what I feel is best, but sometimes I always feel like I've come up short, and I've lived my whole entire life that way. And so I try my best just to do the best I can. But even at my best, I'm still a man and I still make faults and I still fail. But every one of you in here tonight, we can all raise our hand and say, we've messed up. We've had our faults. We've had our failures. And really, we all tonight deserve death. None of us are righteous. No, not one. Thank God all of us deserve a life in hell. But instead of hell, thank God he gave us Goshen. Thank God he extended mercy and he gave us Goshen. And really what these men had in common was simply this. A preacher by the name of Dr. Howard John Wesley wrote it this way. Failure is not the opposite of success, but it is the fertilizer of success. And so what all these men that invented these products and the men that I read to you, what they took as a failure, they used it as a fertilizer to make something prosperous. And God is intending every one of us tonight not to focus on our failure, but use it as a fertilizer and as a stepping stone. Thank God I feel this tonight to say, hey, yes, I may have messed up. Yes, I may have sinned. But thank God I'm not going to let it get me down. God extends forgiveness and he extends mercy. And instead of death, thank God he gave us Goshen. Now you might think, well, what in the world does Goshen have to do with this whole story? Well, you have to understand what Goshen is, where Goshen was, and what it was all about. Three things tonight about this and about this story. First of all, instead of guilt, they received grace. Instead of guilt, they received grace. If you still have your Bibles open, go back to verse 5. Now, if not, don't worry about it. I want to show you this whole story of Joseph, and our pastor preached a series of messages years ago comparing Joseph and Jesus. He is a perfect type of Christ in the Old Testament. But I want you to notice here a beautiful picture of grace. Here in the first few verses, beginning in verse 1, I won't read it to you, but they had come to a head and Joseph couldn't hold it any longer. If you can imagine in your mind with me, he had to leave the room because he was so overcome with emotion. And finally, here in chapter 45, he revealed himself to his brethren. And said, your brother is alive. And they're confused. They don't know what's going on. And he says, I am he. I'm the one. I am Joseph. He is alive. And he began to hug them. And they began to have a reunion there. But listen to what he said in verse 5. Now therefore be not grieved or guilty, nor angry with yourselves. There's the guilt again, that ye sold me hither. For God did send me before you to preserve life. And then in verse 7, look what it says. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. Psalm 105:17 says of Joseph, he sent a man before them, even Joseph. You say, Brian, what does this have to do with grace? Even before they got to this meeting there, God sent Joseph ahead to prepare the way so he could extend grace to his brethren. Thank God, when they deserved guilt, thank God he extended grace on their behalf. Aren't you thankful tonight? Hallelujah, that in this place called Goshen, he said, this is where you're going to live. This place in Goshen where you can't be touched. God's grace will envelop you. You'll be there. You'll be protected. Thank God, aren't you glad tonight that God can take us to a place even though we're guilty of our sin. Thank God he saves us. And thank God he extends mercy. And he said, I'm extending grace to deliver you. Glory to God. This is good preaching. I deserve more shouting than this. He said in verse 10, he said, thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen, and thou shalt be near unto me. And thy children's children, and thy flocks and thy herds, and all that thou hast. And here's the second point. And there will I nourish thee, for yet there are 5 years of famine, lest thou and thy household and all that thou hast come to poverty. So first of all, they deserve guilt, but he gave them grace. Secondly, they deserve punishment, but he gave them provision. He gave them provision. Here's the provision. Three things. Number one, he said, you will be near unto me. Now that's important. He moved them to a place in Egypt where they would be near to him. You say, why is so that important? He was second in command. If they were going to get anything, if they were going to be taken care of, it all was going to come through the hand of Joseph. Whoa, somebody better shout right there. Some of y'all haven't caught up with it. Hey, let me run over that speed bump one more time. They had to be near to him because if they were going to get anything, it had to come from the hand of Joseph. He said, I'm going to put you in a place. You deserve punishment. You deserve death. You deserve to be in prison. But instead, I'm going to provide your every need. Aren't you thankful tonight? And the way I'm going to provide your need is you're going to be near unto me. Thank God, aren't you thankful that as long as we stick next to the Savior and we realize that if we're going to receive anything, it's going to come from his hand. Oh, I don't want to stray away from him. I want to get as close to God as I can. I know his arm is not short. And his ear is not heavy, but I don't want him to have to reach too far. I want to be right by his side. That way if I need anything, he can just flip it over. He said, you'll be near unto me. And then he said in verse 11, and there, where's there? Goshen. And there will I nourish thee. So he said, not only will you be near unto me, but I will nourish you. Why did they need to be nourished? Well, the famine was still going on. They were the second year in the famine. There was 5 more years to complete the 7 that Joseph had prophesied. And he said, there's not going to be no food. There's not going to be anything that's going to be available unless you're in Goshen. And as long as you stay in Goshen and you stay near to me, I will nourish you. So in the lean times, woo! I will provide for you. When it gets down to where you think you're not going to eat another meal, I will provide for you. When you think you can't make it another day, I will nourish you. Anybody understand what I'm saying tonight? Aren't you glad that we can go to a place called Goshen in this spiritual world where God can be near to us and we don't have to want for anything? We can say, Lord, I need you. And hallelujah, he's there. Woo! Glory to God. We receive God's provision not when we think we deserve it, but when we need it. They didn't deserve to be fed. They didn't deserve Goshen. They didn't deserve the treatment. But thank God he says, because of grace and because of mercy, I'm going to put you in a place where I'm going to provide you every need. Glory to God. So he was near to him. He nourished him. But then you also notice there was no want. They had no want. Verse 20. Get ready to shout. Also, he sent them back. Go get daddy. Go get your family. And come on back. Now, also, regard not your stuff. For the good of all the land of Egypt is yours. Oh, you ain't getting this tonight. Some of y'all are like, I don't get it. I don't understand. Hey, he said you don't have to want for anything. You go get your family. You bring the pets. You bring the cats. You bring the dogs. You bring the cattle. It don't matter. You bring it all. All of the good of Egypt is yours. You'll be near to me. I will nourish you. And there'll be no want for anything. Everything that Egypt has is yours. Because it's going to come through my hand. They deserve guilt, but they got grace. They deserve punishment, but they received provision. And finally, notice, they were failures, but he gave them a future. He gave them a future. You say, what future are you talking about? It was in Goshen. In Goshen, think about it. They had no future. If they were not in Goshen, that was the only place they could go that they wouldn't be touched. They were protected. They were cared for. And they didn't have to worry about the enemy. As long as they stayed in Goshen. You say, how do you Let me fast forward to the book of Exodus. You remember when those plagues came down and there arose a Pharaoh that knew not Joseph? Remember that? And he rose up. Moses said, let my people go. You've seen the movie. You know what he does? Yeah. Let my people go. So God sent the plagues. Sent flies. He sent hail. But not in Goshen. You read it. No flies in Goshen. No hail in Goshen. God protected them from the enemy. There was a place that they could go that they would be free from the enemy. Hey, if you haven't caught it yet, let me tell you, there's a place we're all going one day. It's a beautiful land of heaven where we'll be free from the enemy, where we'll be protected. Every need is provided for. And thank God the devil can't touch us. We're failures. All of us are failures. But he gave us a future. It's in Goshen. Now look at what happened when they got to Goshen. First of all, I want you to notice the reunion. The reunion. Look at what happened. Let me go back up here. He sent back, his father came. And then when they got there, chapter 46. In verse 29, they all got there. It's a beautiful story. You've heard the message. Many of you probably heard the message about the wagons. The wagons are coming. And at the end of chapter 45, on the horizon, Jacob saw those wagons coming his way. And he didn't understand what it all was. But once he saw the wagons, his spirit revived. But then he passed out. He fainted because his son was alive. So here they are, they're coming back. And look at this beautiful reunion in verse 29 of chapter 46. And Joseph made ready his chariot and went up to meet Israel, his father, to Goshen. They're in Goshen where this beautiful reunion is happening. Everybody catch on real quick. I ain't got time. I need some Bible readers. Catch on. They went to Goshen and presented himself unto him, and he fell on his neck and wept on his neck a good while. Where were they at? The father hadn't seen the son, and now finally he thought he was dead. But now he realized he's alive, but he hadn't seen him yet. So they get to Goshen and they have a beautiful reunion. And I love what the King James Bible says. And he presented himself unto him. Thank God there's coming a day. I need some people to shout right now. Help me out. There is coming a day when we get to that beautiful isle somewhere. That beautiful place called heaven where Jesus will present himself to us. Hey, they thought he was dead. But he's still alive. And one day the reunion's going to happen. I met him a long time ago at an altar of prayer. But thank God soon, very soon, I'm going to see him face to face in Goshen. Woo! This is good preaching. I don't care who you are. So you got the reunion. You got five more minutes? One more minute, maybe even less. Secondly, notice the remnant. They had a future because now they're reunited. And now look at the remnant. In chapter 46, I ain't got time to read it to you. I was going to let Tim Buckle come up and read these names to you, but it's an inside joke for our Sunday school class. But all the list of all the family, everything they brought back from Egypt, every family was recorded. Let me run over that speed bump one more time. Their names were recorded. Their names were written down. Their names were written down. There was not one left behind. Every one of the remnant, every one of the family of God was written down. Their names were written down. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad that when we get to heaven, no one will be left behind? Our names are written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. And thank God one day soon, or very soon, we'll be reunited with the remnant from the entire world. And God still has a remnant of people. He does. So the reunion and the remnant, but notice the reward they got. Now listen, this is all because they're in Goshen now. It's all because they're in Goshen. The reward. Turn with me to chapter 47 real quick. Chapter 47. Chapter 47. Verse 6. Okay, so here's what happened. They come back. Joseph says, at the end of chapter 46, he says, you're going to stay here. Everything's going to be all right. But here's what I want you to do. Pharaoh's going to come to you. They're going to ask what your occupation is. And daddy, you tell them that you're a cattleman. Don't tell them you're a shepherd. Because shepherds are an abomination in Egypt. You'll find that in chapter 46 at the end. He said, but you're going to be in Goshen. So you're going to be okay. But in chapter 47 starts. Pharaoh comes to him. And what I love about it is, when he asked them what they did for a living, they said in verse 3, thy servants are shepherds. They did. Both we and also our fathers. Exactly what Joseph told him not to say. And you think he would have said, well, forget it, you're kicked out. But look at what Pharaoh said in verse 6. Here's their reward. The land of Egypt is before thee. In the best of the land, make thy father and brethren to dwell. Here it is. In the land of Goshen, let them dwell. And if thou knowest any men of activity among them, then make them rulers over my cattle. He said, not only will I take care of them and they can live in this place, but if they show good signs, they're hard workers, I'll even make them rulers in the kingdom. Woo! Glory to God. Doesn't the Bible say that one day soon and very soon, He'll say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. For you've been faithful over a few things. Now I'll make you ruler over many. Aren't you glad that we don't deserve it? We're a bunch of failures. And we have a bunch of faults on our pedigree. But thank God when He died on the cross of Calvary, He erased that pedigree and wrote a new pedigree. And that pedigree says, forgiven, forgotten, forever. And think about the reward. The reward. And then, let me read verse 27. Here it is. And Israel dwelt in the land of Egypt, in the country of Goshen. And they had possessions therein and grew and multiplied exceedingly. So here's their reward. Not only do they get to go to a place, even though they didn't deserve it, and then they get a reward that they didn't deserve, then now they're going to multiply, and God's ready, is building the kingdom of God out of this little group. And because of that, we are here today. All because there was a place that they could go to be free from the evils of this world. And God extended grace. God extended mercy. And thank God there's still a place tonight that you can come. If you don't know Him as your personal Savior, hey listen, there are faults and failures in your life, no doubt. But hallelujah, because of the grace of God, hallelujah, those faults and failures can be erased, and He can take you to a new land. I deserve hell. Every single one of us deserve hell. Being raised in church, I'm maybe more difficult on myself than I am with anybody else. Because knowing better, I still messed up and sinned. And that's why I thank God every day that He has put me where I'm at. I'm not here because of my abilities. I'm not here because of my successes. I'm here because of my failures. I'm here because of my failures. If it weren't for my failures, if it wasn't for my mistakes, if I would have just laid in those failures. A lot of us are guilty of living in mistakes that we haven't even made yet. Well, I would be a Christian, but I can't live it. We're already worried about the mistakes that we haven't even made. Newsflash, you can't live it. That's why it's called grace. Will you mess up? Yep. Will you have faults? Yep. Will you fail? Mm-hmm. Will you say things you're not supposed to? Oh, yeah. Will you fly off the handle sometimes? You better believe it. But are we disqualified? If we understand that His righteousness is pure, and that we come to Him humble and contrite and broken and ask for forgiveness, He will in no wise cast us out. I used to say God's not obligated to do anything, but I changed my mind on that. That verse right there tells us if you come to Him, He will in no wise cast you out. He's obligated to take you in if you come to Him. We all deserve hell, but He gave us Goshen.